I'd like to welcome everybody back to the Movie Business Podcast Series, where we are attempting to make sense of the new motion picture ecosystem. With me is Jason Squire, as well as Linda Benjamin. Welcome. And
Thank you.
I will introduce Jason, who will then in turn introduce Linda and go into the first question. Jason is the editor of the Movie Business book, most recently the fourth edition. Both Linda and I, in fact, contributed chapters to that book, and he's also a virtual, at the moment, professor at the USC School of Cinematic Arts. Jason, welcome.
Thanks so much, Ilan.
Take it from here.
Well, we're just very lucky to have Linda with us. Linda Benjamin is Senior Vice President, Entertainment Business Affairs and Operations at IMAX. She's long worked as a top-level strategic and business affairs executive. Prior to IMAX, positions include Chief Operating Officer and Head of Business Affairs and Legal Affairs at Covert Media, the producer, financier, distributor, President, Global Strategy and Business Affairs at RR Kids, Reading Rainbows, Children's Educational Media Company, and Executive Vice President, Business and Legal Affairs for Relativity Media. Welcome, Linda.
Thank you, Jason.
So we should start with, we're going to pick your brain, Linda, because it is a very serious and unique period in the business. How do you envision the entertainment industry recovering and then thriving again?
Well, I think that the unfortunate circumstance of the pandemic has accelerated a lot of things that were already well in motion. You know, the push to the streaming services, and with all the studios and the new studios, the old guard studios, all of them really looking to build their entire ecosystems so that they're in direct relationship with the consumer and providing the home entertainment experience, whether it's through a streamer or putting their offerings on EST or TVOD. And just making the availability of their content somewhat ubiquitous. So I think that the studios and the exhibitors are really going to have some very hard conversations about what's going to happen, because I don't think there will be a going back to normal anytime soon. I don't see it, at least in the next few years. So I do think that what's going to happen is largely what we were already seeing, which is there's going to be a reopening of theaters, and people are going to be hesitant, I think, to get back. And I know that the theaters are going to be doing all kinds of things, whether it's plexiglass between seats or every other seat, or only families can sit together. They're going to have to figure out a lot of things. The food and beverage experience is going to change. A lot of it is going to be different in the short term. I think in the long term, we're probably going to look at more of what was happening before this really hit, which is theatrical is evolving into an event release and tentpole release platform. And there will be at big cineplexes, and there's an increased value to the premium theatrical experience like the IMAXs, and the other sort of the luxury multiplexes. And I also think that people are going to be looking at theatrical, certainly the studios are going to be looking at theatrical a little bit differently. It's not going to be put something out in theaters and leave it there for as long as you can and then have a window and then go on to the ancillary exploitation. I think that people are going to be looking at shorter theatrical windows, both because that will facilitate better windowing with the SVODs, as well as they're going to be able to really maximize the value of that marketing push, and then immediately go into the other windows where the margins are better and they can really take advantage of that direct-to-consumer relationship. So it's going to be interesting for sure, but I obviously don't have a crystal ball. I wish I did.
So the issue between the relationship between distributor and exhibitor, already, you know, frayed, is going to be of necessity sort of renegotiated, perhaps.
Definitely renegotiated. And I'm hopeful that it's more of a reimagination than a renegotiation.
Mm-hmm.
I really hope that people move hand in hand together and acknowledge that we are all facing the same things. And while the studios largely have their entire ecosystem now, so they can create content for theatrical, maybe it will just be a small fraction of what they do. The other content is going to go direct to their streaming services. They're going to be able to move content around a bit like a chess piece. Mm-hmm. While there's still tremendous value in the theatrical experience for the community, for the event, for the spectacle, people don't value it when it comes to adult dramas or things like that, as we've been seeing. So I think the studios and the exhibitors really need to sit down and say, how are we going to reinvigorate the health of this entire industry for the benefit of all of us? Otherwise, the exhibitors will really struggle, and that doesn't do any help for the studios, certainly, either, if the exhibitors are under too much pressure and can't succeed.
Let me actually shift gears for a second. You are at IMAX for not a very long time, but IMAX is a known brand of high quality when it comes to technology innovation. And as I think about the response to the first question, I'm also thinking about, I wonder if there will be an IMAX drive-in in the future. but with all
have
of
you
that,
seen, did you see the press release?
I have not seen it. No. Maybe you can mention that on our podcast. But I'm really curious to see, where is IMAX going, even with all of the disruption, to enhance the audience experience in the future and going to new places that they perhaps have not been before?
Well, as you know, IMAX has continued to expand around the world. A very significant part of our business is in China, which has been good and bad, because as the pandemic hit, of course, China went down first. And that's such a significant part of our business and a very actively growing part of our business. But IMAX is expanding worldwide. There's an incredible thirst for the IMAX experience in China and in other territories overseas, which is great. And it really ties into the idea that people are not going to go to the theater unless there's a real reason for it. And IMAX shows movies in the best possible way, the most immersive experience with tremendous sound, comfortable seating, and it's a great experience. So I think IMAX is really well suited just right as its core business. But IMAX is also doing other things. We are helping Tribeca Film Festival launch a series of drive-in movies over the summer, starting in late June. And that's not a core part of our business, but it's a way to remind people that there's a lot of value in going out and seeing a movie, being in the company of others, even if you're in a car, and really having that tremendous wow experience that you don't necessarily get at home on your TV. And we're doing a number of other things with our content that I think it's going to be really exciting, and there's going to be reasons that you say, we really want to go to the IMAX, and we're going to really get people out and have them experiencing the greatest content.
Wow, that's exciting. That's
it's very exciting.
Good for you guys. Wow. So can we widen the conversation to the professional area that you've been at the forefront of as a top business affairs executive? What do you think are the priorities of those in a similar role in organizations across this industry? What are some of the guideposts, if you will?
I think this is one of the most exciting times in my 30 years of doing this. This, given all the change in the industry and where everything is headed and the tremendous uncertainty and the fact that we are all facing so many of the same challenges, it is giving business affairs people a tremendous opportunity to be more integrated into the business that they're working with, to take a more collaborative role with their colleagues across the, you know, across the industry, because we all have to figure this out together to make it work. So I think for those people that are, to use a very tired phrase, the win-win negotiator, I think that kind of thinking is going to be particularly critical in the coming months and years, because we are all facing these challenges, and it's super exciting. I think that for somebody in a business affairs or a top legal role anywhere in this industry, the qualities that you're going to need to really navigate and succeed are flexibility, a truly deep understanding of the business. And I don't mean just the business that, that you do every day, but I mean the entire entertainment to, creation and delivery business across the entire ecosystem, because you can't make plans for your content without taking into consideration the changing economics for the individual consumers and the changing economics that the exhibitors are facing and the international consequences of you know, distributing content and all that goes along with that. So I think it's no longer an isolated position. I see increasingly that the business and legal affairs team is really serving as the hub for all of the stakeholders across the industry. So it's incumbent upon us to make sure that we truly understand what are the concerns of all of those stakeholders and try to assimilate all that information into a strong business plan going forward. So there are new business models that have yet to be created, and we're increasingly called upon to be very creative in our deal making, because it's for sure not business as usual. This isn't pulling forms off a shelf. You have to think about the insurance issues and what your historical contractual commitments are and how those work going forward. And you really need to understand the big picture as well as pay attention to all the little details. And that can be really difficult, but also very exciting and creating a lot of opportunity.
Wow, you know, the business affairs executive has always needed to be innovative, but never as much as today, never as much in this climate. So it must be exciting a really exciting time to deal with these issues, however stressful the overriding quarantine really can be.
It is so tremendously stressful, because you see how this pandemic is affecting everybody. And it's definitely taking its toll on so many people in ways that nobody really expected when it first happened. And I think we can't ignore the fact that these kinds of things might be more likely to happen sooner again rather than later. So we really need to be flexible. We need to be prepared. And we need to take care of each other.
Well said. I love the way you ended it. We are one big family in this industry. So
yeah,
that's what, at the end, we need to support each other. I really wanted to thank you, Linda and Jason, for spending time on our podcast today. And it was very informative. And again, we realize how busy you are, Linda. So we thank you again.
Thank you so much for having me.